And you know, I got a little tickled yesterday. We were driving, the pastor and his wife were driving us home from the airport here to the church, and come to find out the year I graduated from Bible college was about the year they were born. So I'm feeling a little bit old. Now that I'm feeling old, I want to learn some of them old folks' jokes. And two men in the nursing home, one of them asked the other how he was feeling. He said, "I feel like a newborn babe." He said, "Like a newborn babe? What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I don't have any hair, I don't have any teeth, and I think I just wet my britches." One other one that I found was this one. Two men in an old folks' home, and one of them asked the other, he said, "Now, George, I can't remember. Was that you or your brother killed in World War II?" I've lost my memory, but I'm not that bad yet. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter 5. You're welcome to call me Brother John. You don't have to call me Dr. Bishop. That's an honor that they gave to me, but I'm just a simple man, and I'm honored to be here. In 1 Peter chapter 5, I want to preach on staying close to the shepherds, staying close to the shepherds in the Sunday school hour. Let me take my watch off because we're going to quit in here a little earlier. By the time that first bell rings, we want to be done. All right. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Now, if you mark in your Bibles, and if you do so, use colored pencils or regular pencil and it won't bleed through the pages. But casting all, I've got that word "all" circled in my Bible. Casting all your care, not some of your care, not the big things, not just the little things, but everything. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. These were people that were suffering in 1 Peter. They were suffering a lot. They were going through a lot of difficulties and trials. And he's writing to these people and he's telling them, you need to give those burdens. A care is something that burdens you, weighs you down. It's something you worry about. If you're worrying about something and you leave today worrying about it, you've sinned against God. Because God said, "I don't want you to worry about it. I want you to give it to me. That's what I want." And so it's very important that we realize how important it is to give our cares to the Lord. Let me show you the situation these people were in. Back up to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. He say in verse 1 of 1 Peter, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout all those strange places." That's what you do when you can't read them. I do know Asia in there, but they're scattered throughout the world. And they're scattered because they've been persecuted. And that's a very real thing to them. They've lost everything, scattered throughout the world. Now, let me tell you something. If our government, and I tell you, the way the government's acting right now, I wouldn't put it past some of them up there to start persecuting Christians for preaching against homosexuality. They're just going to have to persecute me because I'm going to preach what the Bible says regardless of what the government says. I still believe it's a sin. Just like I believe it's a sin for two people not married to live together. I'm going to keep preaching against that. It doesn't matter if they pass 100 laws saying it's all right. When you're under persecution, you don't get to back up a U-Haul to your house and load up all your things and go down the road and find you another place and just stop. No, you have to take off. And sometimes leaving and losing everything. And so that is the situation here. And notice that he says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from dead." Amen. Now, notice he say lively hope. Now, I use the old King James Bible. That's all that I use.
Amen.
Is the old King James Bible. I don't study out of something that's wrong to try to preach something that's right. I study my old King James Bible, too. And so, he says lively hope. You know, God likes lively Christians. He does. Not just living. Some of the modern translations change that to living hope. No, no. You can be living without being lively, but you can't be lively without being living. And he likes lively Christians. Those that are excited about the things of God. Those that are grateful for what God has done. And we have that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he says, verse 4, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." He's saying to these Christians who lost everything, you have reservations heaven. Isn't that good to know?
Yes, sir.
I got reservations, and God promised me he would not cancel them.
Amen.
He would keep my reservation till I got there, and I'm excited. One time, after my illness, I had a 2-year period where my eyesight was pretty good, and my seizures were under control, and so forth. And so I was able to drive a car for about 2 years. And I drove my car to this city and I stopped at the motel the preacher had given me. And I asked him, "Do you have a reservation for John Bishop?" "No, didn't have." So I said, "Do you have reservation for church, Calvary Baptist Church?" "No, none of that." "Well," I said, "do you have reservation for pastor?" And gave him their name. "No, don't have that." So I got on my phone and I called the pastor standing there in the lobby. I said, "Pastor, I'm here at motel, but they don't have any reservation for me. What I do?" He said, "I'm sorry, I forgot to call you. I change motels." You know what I learned from that? You don't get in without a reservation. And heaven is the same way. You don't get in without reservation. You got to have a reservation. Get in. And he says, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready be revealed last time. Now, isn't it good to know we're kept by power of God?
Amen.
I'm not kept by my power. I'm kept by power of God. It's His power that keep me. I put my faith in Him one day, and since that time, God has kept me in His love, in His care, in His hands. I don't have to worry about that. Now, that's good news if you just lost everything to know that you got reservation heaven.
Amen.
I've got a mansion waiting up there. I told the Lord I'd save Him building another mansion if He just let my Don and I live together. I sure love living with my wife, and so I'd sort of like to do that after we get to heaven. And I said, that way I don't need one, and her need one, and everything. We'll just save on that. But look in verse 6 of 1 Peter 1. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, there's two things about trials that'll help you if you make a note of this. Trials come in seasons, and trials come for reasons. Remember those two things, and it'll help you when you go through a trial. It's seasonal. Sometimes it's your season. Sometimes it's somebody else. Now, Pastor P, sometimes it's his season to go through trials. Sometimes it's my season to go through trial. I like it better when it's his season. Sorry, Pastor. But trials come in seasons. Now, I don't know if they allow hunting where you live here, but in Arkansas, my boys can hunt. Now, I'm legally blind, so I don't hunt, much to the happiness of many people. But in Arkansas, they have deer season, they have rabbit season, they have squirrel season, turkey season, all those kind of seasons. And you know, sometimes when it's my season, it's good to be reminded that it'll be over with one day.
Yes,
sir. I'll go out of season sometime. Don't know when, but I will.
Amen.
And it may last a month. It may last 2 months. It may last a year. But whatever, I'll go out of season. And then it's for reasons. Notice in verse 6 when he says, if need be. Now, why do we need trials? There's two reasons we need trials. We need trials, number one, to make us a better Christian. Let me tell you something. You will pray better and more when you're hurting than you will when everything's fine. Pray better, you will. You pray more earnestly when you're hurting than when everything fine. So that's why we need them. Another reason we need them is to help others. Help others. Now let me just tell you something. When it comes to this matter of trials, one day when I could drive my car, I drove myself to a church to preach on Sunday night. And I drove car, got there, and it was bucking and snorting and spewing and doing everything. I got on church parking lot and it died. Well, I got there anyhow. I told Pastor, I said, "Pastor, my car dead. Would you have somebody could resurrect it? Because it's not going anywhere where it is now." He had a man that had a car like mine. Open hood, asked me what it doing. I told him. And he said, "Yeah, it's a little part down here that goes to what they call vacuum system of the car. And when that not working right, it just messes everything up." So he took some tape and he put around that part. It wasn't a very big part. And he said, "That'll get you home." And he wrote on a card and the name of the part I needed so I could go to the auto store, get the part myself, and put it on. I said, "Thank you very much." Sure enough, it started right up, ran right home. About a month later, I go in town and saw a neighbor broke down side of the road. She lived by herself with three ornery youngins, and her husband, though, was in prison for drugs. So it was a rough situation. And I had visited them numerous, and I wanted to get those kids on a bus route. I wanted to get her there, but if I couldn't get her there, get the kids. Because that's the kind of kids I want to help. They need it. If we don't care about them, who's going to care for them? So I stopped to see if help. And her car was a Ford like my car. Several of them alongside the road. No, not really. I just and broke down. It was about the same model in the same year. And so her hood up and I said, "What it doing?" She told me and I said, "I think I can fix." She looked at me like, "Right, you're going to fix." Guess what it was? That little vacuum system part. Guess what I did? I taped it up and I said, "That'll get you town. And then you can get a part." I said, "I can't remember the name, but you tell them what it is and they'll get you a part." And she got to work. And the next week, I got her kids on the bus.
Amen.
Now, I'm convinced the reason I had broken down is so I could fix her car. I'm convinced that's the only reason why.
Yes, sir.
And so we need trials sometimes so we help others. That what need. And so important. Now let's go back to chapter 5, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom may devour." In other words, be careful. He's saying to hurting people, be extra careful because the devil loves to use hurts to bring you down.
Yes.
When you're hurting, you better guard mouth, because mouth liable to say things shouldn't say. You better guard heart, because it will begin to think things it shouldn't think about God. The devil after you. And when you hurt him, he's special after you. So be very careful. And in verse 9, whom resist? We can resist the devil. Thank the Lord that. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, verse 9 is telling us, no matter what we're going through, somebody else been there, done that, and made it. And we're not only ones ever go through. You know, sometimes when hurting, we throw a little pity party and want to feel sorry for self. I remember when they, right after 9/11, my Donna and I were out in California. She and I were out there and I preaching. It was 2 days before I could get a plane to get back to where I was supposed to be the next week. And she was going on home and I had to go on to my next meeting because of time. So I was left in airport by myself overnight, I think in Atlanta. And I had to be in line at 4 a.m. in morning to catch a 6 a.m. flight. They were guarding, going through everything everybody had. It was a nightmare. So I just laid on one of the cots or couches in the airport lobby. And most people got motel rooms, but I was afraid I might not wake up or get there in time, and this way I would be there. So I set my clock phone and got up at 4 a.m. Got on plane. We were going cross country. When I got on plane, I noticed I counted 10 people in a plane that would seat over 100. But there was just 10 people, that all on there. Probably safest time in the world, fly. But I sat down, nobody around me, and I decided to have a pity party. So I just started crying. Well, the little lady that was watching over the plane came back and she said, "Sir, are you all right?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I've been in the airport all night. Got up at 4 o'clock. I'm just tired and weary, that's all." She says, "Okay." She went on and I kept the pity party going. I had a good one going there, so I thought I'll just keep it going. Well, she come back again. She said, "Are you sure you all right?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I be all right." She said, "Why don't you come up first class?" Wow. I said, "I think I will." Now, back where I was, you get peanuts and a drink. Up there, you get a real breakfast. Eggs and bacon and everything. Boy, howdy, I had it made. And that's the only pity party that ever paid off for me. None of the rest of them have ever gotten me anywhere. But Be careful when you're going through things. People have been there before, just like you. And they made through. They got through. You can get through too. Don't think you're the only one ever been. And now verse 1 of 1 Peter 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof. Now, notice here, he's going to write a note to the pastors. Elder is another term for pastor. Now, your pastor is not the oldest one in your church, and he doesn't have to be oldest one in church to pastor. Elder speaks of maturity. Maturity. He's mature in faith. He loves the Lord. God has given him desires and leading him. And you thank God for that. But also let me tell you this. Sometimes a pastor called bishop in the New Testament. My last name, Bishop, so I know what term bishop mean. When I pastored, I was a bishop. And but I know mean. Let me show you how that term in the Greek is used, when he said, take it oversight thereof in verse 2. Now, oversight is from the same Greek word translated bishop in 1 Timothy. What a bishop is, it describes his function. Elder describes his faith, a mature faith. Whereas a bishop described function, the job, overseeing. God gave the pastor the job of overseeing the church. That doesn't belong to a group of men in the church, or as fine a men as can be. I had were deacons, but that wasn't their job, oversee the church. Their job, they had good jobs to do serving in church, but that wasn't one of them. I had to do that. And your pastor has that as his job. Now, he says for the pastor, he is to do two things here. Feed the flock and lead the flock. Those are the two things the pastor does. Feed. My mama, when I got meningitis, I'll tell you later, I forgot everything. And forgot my childhood too. My mama telling me about my childhood, and she said, John, when you youngins, she called us youngins, when you youngins would get pale and anemic looking, we figured you were low on iron. So we're going to get you liver to eat. She said, John, you hated liver. And I want you to know I still hate liver. If you have me over, please don't serve liver. And she said, but this is the way it was. You could eat your liver and go play, or you could get a whooping and eat your liver and go play. The liver was going to be eaten one way or other. And so, you know, some people want pastor just to feed sweet things all the time. Oh boy, oh how nice everybody is, and you're nice and I'm nice and we're all going to be nice and that's how I'm going to be. That doesn't work. Sometimes we need good liver and onion message. Next time, Pastor, get all over toes when you're going out, thank him for that liver and onion message. It's good for you. And lead the flock. Now, when you're hurting, you've got to be careful. Let's let this pulpit represent God. When you're hurting, if you're not careful, you get mad at God and you pull away from him. That's the most dangerous thing can do. Because the devil, as roaring lion, walketh about seeking devour. Now let me tell you something. You and I are no match for a lion.
Amen.
But the lion no match for the shepherd.
Amen.
We stay close to Christ, the chief shepherd. See, that's what he called in verse 4. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory, fadeth not away. Let's let my Bible represent Pastor Pease. This represents the shepherd, Jesus Christ. Sometimes, to get you away from the shepherd, chief shepherd, he gets you mad at the shepherd underneath him, your pastor. Don't let that happen. Don't let it happen. Stay close to both shepherds. Stay close to both of them. I watched a program one time about lions. And since the devil pictured like a lion, I thought, I'm going to see how devil work. That lion, they charged the herd. They didn't kill one animal in herd, but they scattered the herd. And then they went out and circled the scattered ones and killed them. Those that stayed together were safe. Those scattered were dead. Now, the devil loves to get people mad at church and mad at preachers and mad at other sheep and everything else to get them away from the chief shepherd. We're the devil. Now, he can't get your soul. Don't worry about the soul. But he can get your life. He can get your testimony. He can get family. Devil is mean. And he'll do anything he can to get to you. Is that the horn? All right. So, stay close to the shepherds in your life. Stay close to them. And that's the ones that will keep you safe. That's the ones that will keep you safe. Feed and let him lead you, and you follow close by. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time together. I pray you'll bless so richly every person here. Keep us close to you, Lord. Please, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor.
You're dismissed. If you're able to help us.